You're listening to the Power of Others podcast, season 2020, episode 29. Greetings and welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell. I'm your host here. The website is thepowerofothers.com. This is the Power of Others podcast. Appreciate you listening. Brought to you by The Peer Advantage. If you are a small, medium-sized business owner and you are interested in leveraging the power of others to improve your business, your leadership, your life, please check out all the details at thepeeradvantage.com. Today, let's talk about anticipating the desired outcome. Why it's fun to aim for the ideal. Perfectionism seems to be a thing that people, well, they enjoy claiming that they are perfectionists. And some people, I suppose, truly are. Other people enjoy pointing out the futility of perfection and how it can provoke procrastination. And I suppose that's also true. We've talked in the past about how if you're going to do something, it's worth putting in the effort to do it well. In fact, I'll put a link in the show notes to a previous episode where that's exactly what we talked about. And today's show smacks of a similar theme of aiming high. And why not? There's a big difference in authority and leadership. It's an equally big difference in leadership that takes a high aim at an ideal versus leadership that may accept the status quo. No, you're not going to sit there thinking that, well, I don't accept the status quo. But there are likely many things in your operation, in your organization, where that's exactly what you do. You accept the status quo. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that that's entirely a bad thing. You know, it's kind of like habits. We have these habits, and people can think, well, we've got good habits and bad habits. Some habits are, we need them. We need some things in our life to be rather autopilot and rather mundane. It kind of keeps us sane, and it can do that in your leadership as well. Conversations about what could be. What could be? These are conversations that I have found often revealed how limited we can be in our thinking. Sitting down with the boss of a 300-person company, they are in the manufacturing business. They manufacture aircraft parts, and the discussion turns to his company's culture, a culture that, frankly, he feels pretty good about. And so I ask him, how can it be better? What do you think that you would have to do to make it ideal? Well, he's sitting here. He's thinking about it, and some seconds pass, and he's obviously struggling to answer. Now, I'm usually a person who's really comfortable with silence in a conversation, but, you know, okay, this has a look. He's got a look that I've seen before. It's a look that has shown me that he may need further prompting to get the wheels moving a bit more easily, and so, naturally, I'm going to oblige. And I say, well, surely there's one thing that isn't working so well. What is that? Well, he says, I'm often frustrated. I'm frustrated at our lack of speed in handling certain people performance issues. And he goes on to tell me that he doesn't really think it's so much to do with people that want to avoid a difficult conversation. He senses that people put that off. And so I ask him to explain. He goes on to share a few stories of people who weren't corrected. They weren't supported in real time quite the way he would like. He wishes that his leadership team wouldn't sit on such actions. And some of them sit on them longer than others. But he confesses that it's just this nagging problem, and he really just has not been able to fix it to his liking. And so I ask, well, what would the ideal look like? Okay, well, now the wheels are turning. And he's explaining in vivid detail how things would look, how they would sound, how they would feel if this problem were corrected. Now, I want you to keep in mind, he is in a very heavily regulated industry with lots of inspection, lots of quality control. I mean, anything having to do with airplanes, it's got life and death potential. So getting it right is number one. And this CEO is very familiar with hitting the ideal in manufacturing because, well, they have to. But like all of us, he is susceptible to accepting less than the ideal in some of these other areas. I mean, like these people problems, for instance. Well, for the next 40 minutes or so, we discuss this ideal that he's not yet been able to realize. I mean, he's engaged. He's energized. And toward the end of our time together, he stops and he says, man, that's pretty fun to think about. That's pretty fun to think about. And so I have to tell him, well, imagine how much fun it's going to be to execute it. I mean, imagine how much fun it's going to be to have it realized. Have you ever planned something big? Of course you have. Now, maybe it was a move. Maybe it was a vacation. Maybe it was something with your career. Maybe it was a wedding. Maybe it was whatever it was something that took some time. It took some planning. Maybe it even took some budgeting. Okay, I want you to think about that. Whatever it is that you've got in your mind. And remember how it felt while you were working toward it. I want you to think about the things that you did to get ready for it. The things that you did to prepare for that thing to become a reality. The other day I was talking with an older gentleman. He had retired from one career to begin a new one, his post-retirement career. You know, some folks call it the encore career. He's now 75, and about 8 years or so ago, as he was telling me, he stepped away from the work that he had been doing for decades. And he told me about the work that he had put in to prepare himself for this new post-career career, if you please. And as he was talking, you could see his face light up. 3 years. He described a three-year journey that he spent trying to work his way out of the old career, where he'd spent most all of his life, to this new career. He studied, he read, he made notes, he talked with other people who were doing this new line of work. Well, it was going to be new for him. And he described his final 3 years in his old career as being greatly enhanced because, well, he's a man on a mission. He is a man on a mission. He's got retirement ahead, but it's not traditional retirement of going to hang it up, going to do nothing. It was going to be this new thing he was going to be doing. He wanted to get his retirement career as right as he could. Well, I had to ask. I already knew the answer because you could tell by the expression and by the glow on his face. I said, was it fun? The planning and all the work that you put in to prepare? Oh, land, yes, he said. I had a blast. I can't remember when I had that much fun. Every time we plan something big, we think about it going as well as it can go. I don't know any couple who is planning a wedding who is making a plan for their wedding to just be meh, you know, so-so. Nobody's planning to have a mediocre wedding. They're anticipating everything being perfect. They want it to be extraordinary. And they've got this expectation that is very, very high, and rightfully so. It's a big, important event. Jim is a home builder. Well, more accurately, he'll tell you that really he's not a home builder. He will freely tell you he's really in the land business. Now, he's got this great knack for buying land at a good price and then developing that land. He's a master at buying low and selling high because he creates subdivisions and he builds houses on land that will enhance how much money he can make. Sadly, he's not terribly interested in being a great home builder. For him, the homes are just a means to an end. It's just a way to sell the land for more money than he otherwise could. Now, the houses are perfectly fine, but you know what? The workmanship is not terrific. But Jim doesn't mind. He doesn't mind because it's just a detail that he doesn't care about. In fact, he has very little to do with the construction part of his own enterprise. He owns this joint, lock, stock, and smoke and barrel. And I look at his business from afar, and I wonder what it might be like if he took more pride in the home building. And I've often wondered, what if he aimed for a higher outcome in craftsmanship in the homes that he builds? What if he did that like he does his land deals? Well, I doubt that we're ever going to find out because, well, Jim's printing money and making more money than he's likely ever made in his life. I do not have a working relationship with him. But privately, and okay, now publicly, I'm fascinated to wonder about what could be in his business, including profits. And I sometimes wonder if Jim might have some fun in trying to become world-class in building custom homes instead of just trying to hit price points and whatever other measurements that can help him add more exotic cars to his fleet. Through the years, I have found it interesting how business people who earn extraordinary incomes share stories of striving for something important. I mean, their enthusiasm is apparent as they can recite stories of taking a really high aim at something. They can get animated whenever they're telling you about something that they were going to try to achieve that they had not yet achieved before. Maybe something that hadn't been done before. Looking forward to reaching the goal is sometimes its own reward. Now, recently, my wife and I, we went on a pretty rigorous 4-mile hike. Now, we'd done this hike before, but this time we felt like we're better prepared because the first time we didn't have a clue. All we had was this kind of this rough thing on a map. We had never scaled this topography before, and we were just not prepared. Well, we were prepared this time, and it took us about 90 minutes. The terrain and challenges in places was really challenging for us. Now, we're novice hikers. Well, let me check that. We are old novice hikers. And there were places where, you know, it was really steep. The incline was really steep. And by the time we got to the top, we were both pretty winded. And along the route, trees are marked with yellow paint or yellow arrows to show you that, okay, this is the path. You're on the path. And about every half mile, there was a marker. Well, before we started, we anticipated that, you know, this thing may take us, it might take us more than 2 hours, because the first time we did it, I think it took us close to 3. We didn't have a time goal. We just wanted to do this for the sake of doing it. We had done it before, and it was somewhat difficult. We wanted to do it again. We anticipated finishing. But along the way, we also anticipated something else. The next marker, right? There's 0.5 miles. Okay, great. Great. We've come half a mile. And then there's the 1 mile marker. And I remember hitting that first mile marker and saying to my wife, okay, 25% down, right? We've accomplished 25% of this thing. Anticipating getting to the end. Well, getting to the end alive, I guess that was my ideal outcome. After an hour and a half, we emerge from the woods. We have finished this course. We've got no twisted ankles. We have no broken bones. There's no bruised egos even. Just two old bodies looking to sit down and, you know, guzzle a Route 44 Sonic soft drink somewhere. And my wife said, it feels good to have done it. It feels good to have done it. And the truth is, it did. It felt pretty good to plan to do it this time. It felt pretty good all along the way, knowing that we were going to do it and that we were in the process of doing it. And as we got closer to the end, realizing that we're going to do this in a much shorter time than we had done it the first time. Carly Simon, you may or may not remember her. I'll embed the video. She had this famous hit song called Anticipation. And the first lines of that song say, we can never know about the days to come, but we can think about them anyway. And boy, isn't that true. When it comes to our leadership, when it comes to our organizations, let's think about the ideal outcomes anyway. even if you may be tempted to think that it will never happen. Well, of course it's never going to happen if you won't give it some thought. But what if you're wrong? What if you're wrong? What if it's not only possible? What if it's probable if you'll devote yourself to it? What if much, much higher performance is possible? What if you are the impediment because you just simply will not dream big enough? You won't anticipate the desired outcome as being ideal. You're rather satisfied to just get by. What if you're missing out on loads and loads of fun? The fun to plan, the fun to try to achieve some new outcome, the very best outcome. What if Jim, the home builder, what if he took aim at maximizing his real estate value by taking his home building skills to a whole new level? What if his company was a premier custom home builder known for a fit and finish that others just simply couldn't rival because they didn't want to put in the work? How good can you be? How good can your organization be? I think it's kind of fun to ask, and it's even more fun to plan the ideal answer. If you are the owner of a small to medium-sized business, I would invite you to check out The Peer Advantage by Bula Network. You can go to The Peer Advantage, that's P-E-E-R, meaning we're all birds of a feather. The Peer Advantage by Bula Network. It's a little bit personal one-on-one coaching, and it's a little bit kind of a small think tank, if you will, just for business owners who aspire to be the very best. I'm looking for a few candidates who aspire to reach their ideal outcome and who are willing to put in the work. And if that sounds interesting to you, then please check out all the details and click the apply button over at thepeeradvantage.com. That's it for me. I'm going to try to get back more in a little regular habit now that we've kind of got summer over and falls in place, and the pandemic just keeps on going. So, hey, this is the new normal. My name is Randy Cantrell. Greetings and welcome inside the Yellow Studio, and let me encourage you to be well, do good, grow great.